How many times has this happened to you where you go to the doctor, you have these obscure aches and pains, and you have no formal diagnosis? Well, I'm here to talk about that as it pertains to narcissistic abuse, growing up in a cult. Not enough people are aware of it. In my conversations with so many of you, I have seen a common thread of having obscure illnesses, random aches and pains, and just feeling overall unwell. And then when we go to the doctor, they tell you there's nothing wrong with you. It's really frustrating, isn't it? Well, that happened to me several times over several years. And I want to talk to you how I hit it head on. Before we begin, I want to thank you so much for liking, sharing, and subscribing. I'm excited to get back with interviews come September. Right now, I'm just enjoying summer with my children who are on a mission to slowly drive me insane. What a lot of people in this social media world actually don't know about me, not that it's even important, but it's important to bring up. And it's very hard for me to talk about, by the way. I don't like to talk about my health publicly because it's just, I don't know, it just makes me feel uncomfortable. But to give you context, I'm gonna go there. When I was 20 years old, I was diagnosed with this very rare disease called LCAT deficiency. And it's a long word, and basically my body does not make HDL. And somehow it manifests itself in scarring of both kidneys and scarring of both corneas. That's why my eyes are so light. I have gotten a few comments about how my eyes look cloudy. It has nothing to do with the iris, the color per se, but it has everything to do with there is a cloud that symmetrically covers both of my corneas. It is a slow systemic breakdown, and there is no cure for it. Well, they have a cure, but the government isn't releasing it yet because it doesn't financially behoove them to release the cure. By the way, your government doesn't care about you. Ask me how I know. But I digress. So I was diagnosed with this illness when I was 20 years old. And as of right now, the last I've heard, there's only about 60 people in the world who have this diagnosis. I am a study case at the NIH, in and out of the hospital. My immune system is pretty shot throughout the years. I was a magnet for viruses and illnesses. And throughout the years, anytime I had aches or pains, I would kind of conclude that it was related to LCAT deficiency. At the time, I was a very active Jehovah's Witness. I was very close to, or thought I was, very close to toxic friends. And I thought that, well, maybe this is my lot in life to deal with this, to be sick all the time, to feel pretty unwell, to hurt every day of my life. There were days where I literally could not get out of bed. And when I was at the NIH, I was formally diagnosed with fibromyalgia. Now, if I've spoken with you in the comments on social media and we have talked about fibromyalgia, please let me just say I am not invalidating the fact that fibromyalgia is very real. In fact, I'm doing the complete opposite. These symptoms are very real. Fibromyalgia is a very real diagnosis. But one thing I looked at was that because of my kidney disease, I cannot just take any random medication because my liver is also enlarged because of LCAT. So any medication, anything that I ingest filters out through the kidneys and the liver. So I had to go a little deeper and dig a little further into how to help my symptoms. There are medications that can ease the symptoms of fibromyalgia, but I wanted to dig a little deeper. Then another situation occurred where I was at my house talking with my friend and I just went paralyzed. It looked like I was having a stroke, but I wasn't. Now, before this happened, I pretty much just reconciled the fact that I had fibromyalgia and it is what it is. Well, I didn't have a stroke. All the tests and the scans were completely negative. They did not know what was wrong with me. This is one of three times that this had happened to me, and there was no formal diagnosis. I had brain scans, I had EEGs, I had had every test you can imagine to find out why I had what is known as locked-in syndrome. In 2019, I was at the NIH having a tumor removed from my parotid gland. It's benign, it's no big deal, but when I came out of surgery, I slipped back into paralysis. And as clearly as I'm speaking with you now is as clearly as my thought process was, but my body was not moving. My brain and my body were not connected to each other. My vital signs were normal, My pulse was normal, my oxygen levels were normal, and they were very close to intubating me, but they didn't, thankfully, because the nurse caught on that my sats were normal. Immediately, they called a neuropsychiatrist to come in. This is before I had done any personal work. This is before I had had any form of therapy whatsoever. Neuropsychiatrist comes in, and what felt like 30 seconds of an episode to me ended up being about 3 hours. And my father was there and witnessed it happen to me. And I remember because I was with it. I was coherent. And I just wasn't moving. I was frozen still, not blinking. I was frozen in a position. My muscles ended up hurting for days after because I was so tight. And the neuropsychiatrist literally talked me into moving my limbs and muscles again. He would say, "Wendy, move your toes." And it was an extreme delay. "Wendy, move your hands. Wendy, blink." And I didn't. But eventually I did. So what he did was he helped me without any medical intervention move my body. I was there for 3 weeks for many reasons. And this was an event that just happened to occur when I was having surgery. So the social worker comes in with the psychology team. And at this point, of course, I'm feeling very vulnerable. I'm feeling terrified. I'm feeling like I'm the crazy person, right? It was also NIH that diagnosed me with fibromyalgia. I'm like, this can't be fibromyalgia, paralysis. This is my third episode of this happening. So in that moment, the social worker introduced me to a book called The Body Keeps the Score. This book will change your life. It changed mine. Now, I know many of you in the comments have read this book, but one of the reasons that I didn't read it right away was because I felt like a victim. I felt like they were trying to tell me something was wrong with me, that there was a problem, that I was making this up, that it was psychosomatic. Well, I'm here to tell you that when you go through traumatic incidences, something called ACE, they're adverse childhood events. When we go through these, and we all have them, our body holds on to trauma for dear life, and it has to come out somehow. That's why it's called The Body Keeps the Score. Now, at the time of this social worker speaking with me, I had no idea the trauma that my body or my mind had endured. I was still very, very believing Jehovah's Witness. I still had all these relationships still in my life that I did not know were very unhealthy for me. I had these unhealthy mindsets. I had these unhealthy coping mechanisms. So it would make sense that my body is like, hello?
Hello? Hello? Anybody home?
And so that is where my journey started of lessening my symptoms. So the doctor came in and he said, this is not a hardware problem. This is a software problem. A hardware problem meaning it's not going to come up on any diagnostic testing. Any MRIs, CAT scans, nothing like that is going to show that I have what is called functional neurological disorder, FND for short, or a conversion disorder. It used to be called a conversion disorder because it's the way your body cannot convert pain. And I have not had an episode since. It's not epilepsy, so there's no seizure medication. It's nothing like that. And there is no shame in dealing with these things. That's what I want to talk about. I had seen multiple neurologists, but then I got into therapy. What I did not realize was that the way our body holds on to emotional and psychological trauma exhibits itself through physical pain. These are called somatic responses. So if you could find a somatic therapist or someone who understands what a somatic response is, that would be wonderful. So the minute I hit my trauma head on, and it's not easy, you guys, and I'm still a work in progress, keep in mind, I'm not like at the finish line. I'm right alongside you, cheering you on, like, come on, we can do this. But the minute I hit my trauma head on, that is when my symptoms started subsiding. It was also at this time that I was diagnosed with hypothyroidism. Now, for those of you in the audience who may have hypothyroidism, believe it or not, it can look different for everyone. Now, modern day medicine is amazing, but the way they diagnose hypothyroidism leaves a lot to be desired. For example, you'll go for your annual wellness checkup, whether you're male or female, and you will get a typical TSH test. And then that'll come back negative and they'll say, oh, you know what? You're fine. You don't have a thyroid problem. When in actuality, any holistic practitioner a naturopath or even an endocrinologist would know that that TSH test is just a small piece of a very large puzzle. And again, I am not a clinician. This is just my personal experience. So please take this information to your physician, to your therapist, and put it all together in accordance with what they say. But it took 20 years to diagnose my hypothyroidism. And it is a period over 6 months where they look for a change in the pattern. You can go once a year and have a negative thyroid test, and it could be just because it's lying dormant. And that is something that I did not realize. So then I got on the appropriate medication for hypothyroidism, and my anxiety lessened. My symptoms decreased. In addition to that, I was on medication in tandem with going to therapy. When I look back on all the friends in the congregation who had these random aches and pains, I feel such empathy for them because there is so much to be said about being in a narcissistic relationship, which this is what I say all the time. When you're in high control religion and then you leave, you are a survivor of narcissistic abuse. When we look at the organization as you would a toxic relationship and we leave that relationship, you're a survivor of one of the most abusive relationships that not everybody, even your clinicians, can relate to. It's really important to be our own advocate in the medical community. When I had exhausted all medical reinforcements, I went the psychological route because at that point, I did start to feel like I was crazy. Does that make me crazy? And there are people who supposedly loved me who did not help by saying I was making it up, that I'm a drama queen. But here's the truth of the matter. Your pain is real, and you don't need people to validate that pain for you. If your symptoms are real and you are feeling pain, that could be psychological pain in the sense that your body is saying enough is enough. We need to fix this. We need to go back to that situation, heal that up, and then we're going to lessen the symptoms. And then I dug a little deeper. I looked at the relationship between diagnoses such as fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue syndrome and other autoimmune disorders and the relationship with trauma and the relationship with ACE. When I discovered that there are studies done in which many people who had an ACE in their past have these chronic illnesses, have these obscure, undiagnosable symptoms, that's when I started also doing the work. And that's what I wanted to talk to you about. If the medical route is not satisfying you and your symptoms are still there and still paramount, please look into getting into counseling. Now, again, I'm not naive. Not everyone can afford a therapist. Not everyone can look into it, but it is very possible for you to start doing your own research. Even if you can't get into counseling, there is a ton of free resources out there. For example, if you read The Body Keeps the Score, the body's amazing, right? Our DNA and our cells hold on to traumatic events for dear life. Dear life! They're just like, listen, I am holding on to you until you rectify me. I had to go off camera for a second because this girl, she really needed my attention. Have I introduced you to Callie? She also does a lot for aches and pains. She's very helpful. What was I saying? I was a magnet for illness and viruses. I still am, but I just don't pay much attention to it. What I learned is that you cannot heal in the same place that made you unwell. I remember going to the Kingdom Hall and the lights were blinding and the sounds were just too soundy. I am a highly sensitive person though, and I am deeply affected by the emotions of others and the feelings of others. I could almost predict people's footsteps. That's how intuitive and an empathic, by the way, if you're an empath, it is childhood trauma and it's not a bad thing. This is what we're talking about in this video. But at the Kingdom Hall, it was exhausting. I would go to one meeting and then I would just be knocked out for days to recover. I used to call it meeting anxiety. But what I didn't know then that I know now, and I really want to tell you, if you're new here and watching this video and you're just waking up and you're wondering, how come every time I go to the meetings, I am exhausted and I need a couple of days of recovery just from going to the Kingdom Hall? Well, this is why. Because after years of being controlled in your life, now your body is saying, I can't take anymore. I am done. I can't deal with this anymore.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not gonna take this anymore.
And so yes, you cannot heal where you were made to be unwell. What I was doing when I was going back to the meeting was re-traumatizing myself over and over and over again. But how do you reconcile that? Place where you are supposed to get salvation is the same place that caused you pain. It's the same place that gives you really traumatic memories. How do you reconcile that? Well, that is where you strip the doctrine and realize you don't need to go to the Kingdom Hall or be a Jehovah's Witness to gain approval from God if you believe in God, if you believe in that. So my first step was, you know what? I'm just going to take a break. It was this crazy phenomenon. I would feel fine every other day, but on a meeting day, I was exhausted, right? On a meeting day, I'm like, why am I just so drained today? Oh, looking back, it was because my body was anticipating going back to the scene of the crime. And every time you go back, again, we're re-traumatizing ourselves. And I thought there was something wrong with me. Like, why do I feel so crappy on a meeting day when I'm supposed to feel elated and happy and joyful? No, pay attention to your body because your body is telling you something. And this is not just in religion. This is in everyday situations. If you pay attention to your body when you feel a certain way around a certain group of people or a certain person, and suddenly you're absorbing their energy or you're absorbing their negativity. Sometimes I was taught to say, this is not me, that I am not recognizing this feeling. I am not recognizing these intrusive thoughts. This must be indoctrination. And so when you go about your day and you are, maybe guilt is creeping in, or maybe you're starting to feel a flare up. What I do is I ask myself, by default now, is this a physical flare or is this an emotional flare? Because I personally feel emotional pain in my physical body. And then I will go through this checklist of things. Who have I talked to this week? What information did I take in via social media or the news? What do I know is going on with people that I love? What's going on in their lives? Am I absorbing that? Is that the pain that I'm feeling? And now I've gotten accustomed to doing that. I'm just like, okay, nope, that's not it. No, that's not it. And before I medicate or get into counseling, first I audit myself and find out what exactly I'm exposing myself to. This all comes from self-awareness and learning how your body reacts to stress. Before I hit my trauma head on though, I did everything. I changed my diet. But one of the things that I do want to say is if you're going to make changes, what I did was I did one thing at a time rather than a bunch of things. And then I didn't know what was actually working. So one thing at a time is also helpful. The important part of this whole spiel is to tell you that even though you may not have a formal diagnosis, you will notice that as you heal from the inside, you'll heal from the outside. And if you're suffering right now with fibromyalgia pains, I know what those pains feel like. And the way that they did the test was the doctor took the outside of my body. There's the shoulders, the hips, they go all the way down to the ankles. And it's the perimeter, it's the outline of your body that there are pain points. And psychology is the same thing. There are pain points that if they're pushed, they trigger pain. There is a very interesting correlation between physical pain and emotional suffering. If you're ready to feel better, like I was ready to feel better, I decided to hit my trauma head on. There is nothing wrong with you. Your pain is real. Your trauma is real. Your symptoms are real. It's just another tool in your toolbox to go and get some help to maybe hit that head on and see where in your body, because the whole body is connected. That's what holistic means, whole body. So when we go the psychological route, we're able to reframe a very painful moment in our lives. This is what PTSD looks like. This is what CPTSD looks like. And of course, I am not a mental health expert. I am just a very informed patient and a very informed client. And I wanted to tell you guys what actually worked for me. I am not ashamed to say that I have a very rare disease. And here's the other thing that was really damaging in that organization. When you do have a formal diagnosis, like I did and like I do, and if you're watching this and you do have a formal diagnosis, I would love to hear about it in the comments because there is no shame. We are learning this as we go along now that we're stripping ourselves of coercive control and abuse from that organization. The problem with the organization among many, is that when they say, oh, you know what? The new system will take care of that. It's this eventual happiness, right? It's this eventual healing that they say is going to happen. So when I was diagnosed with this all these years, nobody cared. My own family didn't care. My own family to this day still doesn't do research on it. There's not going to be any marathons in my name to raise money for awareness. It's so rare that I don't even talk about it. My family can't even pronounce it. But it's also part of that mindset in the JW organization where just don't worry about it right now. Oh, the new system will take care of it. So they don't take massive action to take care of themselves or people that they love. They're just kind of doggy paddling and treading water in the present, waiting for this eventual healing that'll never come. And so if you fall into those patterns like I did, where I didn't take much initiative, I was just kind of putting a Band-Aid on a broken bone, quite literally, before I took control of my life, my emotions, and I realized, hey, you know what? I am in the driver's seat. I can take care of my symptoms. I can't cure myself. I can work with the doctors and scientists, and hopefully they'll release that cure. But what am I responsible for? What kind of symptoms can I manage? And that is one of the things that I think leaving the organization has had a dramatic effect on my outlook on my body and appreciation that I have for it, that this is all I have. I'm gonna make the most of it. I'm gonna take care of her. And I'm gonna teach my children the same thing. Sometimes when you have this mindset that the future is gonna change everything, it is learned helplessness. You just sit there and think, well, it's a means to an end, right? Nobody wants to live, we don't want to live like that. So when it comes to our health and wellness, of all the doctors that I have spoken to, the minute I got myself and gave myself that gift of taking care of my mind and my emotions, that's when things started to change for me, and I want the same thing for you too. So thank you so much for watching. I hope this video has provided you some comfort. I look forward to doing more interviews come September. I'm in the middle of moving and the kids are going to go back to school, and then I'll be able to give you all my time as far as interviews go. But thank you so much for watching, and take care.